March 6, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
That's just what I want to do, sleep. From it to here. Till I keep seeing
for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Is it the first Saturday of March? Maybe.
Yes, it is.
People, you can tell that I'm not totally man alone. Brother Matt, he's still the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south of here because we're still in quite quarantino mode. But those, because of those genius engineers of software at Estonia with their Skype invention, I got with me Steve Almas. Welcome aboard, Steve.
I guess it's good morning. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah. Now, yeah, there's a time difference. Are you talking to me from Minneapolis?
No, I'm in Oyster Bay, Long Island today, as it happens.
So you're another hour east.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oyster Bay. So, fuck, that's the home of the Blue Oyster Cult.
It could well be. I know they're from Long Island. It's the home of Theodore Roosevelt. I know that for sure. But yes, I believe the soft white underbelly originated somewhere out here on Long Island.
They're actually called the Stock Forest Group also.
Oh, touche.
Yeah. I mean, there's many different versions of I'm on the lam, but I ain't no sheep. In fact, because I got to be buddies with the Bouchard brothers.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, the title of that tune was actually first, I'm Peeping Through Your Files. So, I mean, they went through a lot of trips. They ended up at the S-U-N-Y Stony Brook, though. And, in fact, there's another Strong Island guy, Rakim. He wanted to be a quarterback there, but was maybe not a little enough large in stature, not in fucking capacity of the mind, because that guy's got fucking rap. Anyway, I should tell the listeners that we started off the show with If I Were a Bell, which is live at the Plaza Hotel 1958, John Coltrane with Miles Davis. In fact, Coltrane there is resting in Pine Lawn. When I turned 40 years old, I took the Long Island Railroad underneath Penn Station. Madison Square Garden. It's called Penn Station. It ain't the original, but they tore that down. So I took this out to Pine Lot. It's a stop in the graveyards right there. It's near Dix Hills was the last. I think the pad is still there where he wrote Love Supreme. They're trying to save it. Also, the Philly house I heard is in trouble. So people, if you can. But anyway, because, you know, we lost him when he turned 40. So when I was 40, I thought I'd go there. And I had to go twice because you can't just find some dude unless you're really lucky with thousands in a boneyard. So. Then I found it, and it was one of those twofer graves. He had a place ready for Alice. And anyway, I was thinking, were you thinking of the, when you were recording, Mr. Coltrane, were you thinking of the next hit? Like, he didn't tell me, but I mean, think about it, right? Then after this tune with Miles Davis, we heard I Need a Torch from the Suicide Commandos.
Oh, geez, Mike, you're playing me right after John Coltrane. That's cool.
In fact, this is the first Suicide Commandos I heard. And, you know, this is... Well, let's talk about your music journey. What's your... Steve, please tell me your earliest music memory.
Well, I'll tell you, my earliest music memory was my first grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Winslow, and her son, Dal, was in the Trashmen. And I happened to be in first grade when Surfin' Bird was a hit. So that was kind of my, for pop music anyway, you know, that was kind of my first ding, ding, ding moment. She would wear this Trashman sweatshirt when we went on field trips. And I remember that kind of, you know, just sticking in my head.
And where was this?
And this was in Minneapolis, well, in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the Hopkins School District out to the west of Minneapolis.
West of Minneapolis, I've been to a town called Montrose.
Montrose, I'm not familiar
with.
Well,
a real tiny town, but it's where Eden was. David Eden built my bass amps, huh? So I would go out there, maybe 30 miles west or something. Anyway, in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Yes. My mother played the piano, and she made sure all the kids... She gave the kids piano lessons at first, and then my dad, who was Norwegian, he came to the United States as an adult. He was 23 when he came to the United States, was a a folk music enthusiast, and he strummed an acoustic guitar. He really liked folk music and country music, and, you know, his country tastes were everything from Eddie Arnold to Johnny Cash. You know, he liked some of the good stuff, and he liked some of the real countrypolitan stuff as well. And but we ended up bonding, you know, around 14 years old, over that Nitty Gritty Dirt Band "Will the Circle Be Unbroken" record. He brought that home, and I just thought it was really cool.
So there was an acoustic guitar and a piano.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people on the show, and they've had total fucking nightmares with the piano lesson syndrome or whatever. I guess it depends on the teacher. What was your experience?
Well, I didn't stay with the piano too long, but I did. I liked it okay. I mean, to finish my earliest, I'm one of those kids that saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan when they were tiny, and that, like, the world was one way the day before and the world was another way the day after, and I just wanted to be that after that. And so I wanted, you know, I wanted an electric guitar and to be in a group, and it took me a good 5 years to start making that happen after I, you know, I played the violin, and you know, finally, when I was around 12, I got a guitar, and when I was around 13, I got an electric bass, so I, you know, became the bass player, because that was the electric instrument I got.
It trips me out how people say that. Yeah, I wanted to get into rock and roll, so fuck the piano. When if you look at the actual facts, rock and roll is a piano instrument. The guitar comes later.
Whatever,
perception's 9/10 of the law, so I ain't gonna fucking fight it.
Well, I remember I would have been fine, you know, being the organ player on 96 Tears or one of those Buckingham's records or something. You know, that would have been fine with me. If I could have got my hands on a Vox Continental, I would have been cool with that too.
Well, there was a Minnesota guy who wanted to be Little Richard, Mr. Bob Dylan, right? I mean, and Jerry Lee Lewis, I mean, they're rocking the piano like crazy. Even Chuck Berry's songs was written by his piano player.
Yeah, the music, you're right.
Okay, yeah.
Johnny Johnson.
Yeah, I was going to say not maybe the words, because Chuck had a pretty good talent with that. He explained about, you know, when you make rock and roll lyrics, you want shit people can relate to. So, yeah, you mentioned their town, especially when you're on tour, right? Okay, let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Well, I was in the choir, and I was in the orchestra. And the orchestra was not a happy place, because, you know, they'd have the orchestra and they'd have the band. And, you know, we'd have these school concerts. And the band would come out, and they would, like, you know, they'd play like something by the Tijuana Brass, and it'd sound pretty good, or they'd play the theme to Hogan's Heroes or something like that, and people would really love it. And then, you know, the orchestra would come out, and we'd, like, struggle through the overture to The Marriage of Figaro or something, and, you know, it's hard. It's a lot harder to sound good, and it would always suck. So I was a little bit miserable being in the orchestra in those years.
And this was your violin days.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you didn't stick with violin.
I didn't, but, you know, it's funny. I've been practicing the piano, and I'm about to pick up the fiddle again, too. I'm going to try. I wasn't very good, but I could play in tune. Okay. So maybe I can take it from there make something out of
the bass.
A town.
Talking about the bass, in the orchestra, it's actually a giant violin without a chin thing.
That's right.
Except for a big difference. They both got four strings, but what's the difference between those strings?
Backwards.
Well, the intervals, too. The violin's fifths and the bass is fourths. Now, what kind of bass did you get? I'm a little biased towards bass.
Well, I remember the one that, you know, the first one I got was just purely because it was an electric instrument, and I believe it was a Decca bass, which I don't know anything about, but
I don't need to. It's okay. What about your first bass amp?
Oh, I had this. My dad took me to the music store. When I was 14, for a confirmation present, he bought me a brand new Telecaster bass, a 1970 Telecaster bass. And then he took me to the music store and he bought me this big, giant, it was called a Jordan amplifier. Jordan.
Well, what's
solid state amplifier. It was a great story with that. I was rehearsing with that. And you remember those power booster boxes, like the Mole? Did you ever have one of those?
No, but I know they plugged right in your guitar. But what did you play the Decca through?
The Decca, I think I was borrowing the older brother band's Sun amp to use that. I didn't have my own amp yet.
John Entwistle played Sun Coliseum. Look, I want to play another Suicide Commando song. Try Again.
I'd like to sleep now, afraid to look weak. I'm dead, I'm all alone. If only there were more arc welders than golden bozos with a secret wrench, overpaid groaning teat pants pissers, 42,000 boxes all darkened to each other, with more left hands than rights all jerking it, it'd falter and waste on speeding flatbeds. Never mind flying blind into outer space. Festering grommets purportedly held intact over triple speed of sound, which would unravel so much faster than prickly hot Texas twisters. From mountain men to hot sun belters, every sleeping brain gets blistered. It's past time to chew through tethers as our misery strains over miss or mister. Sheltered selves smell all sweltered, screaming at other selves unguessed at. Best ignore that box of crayons. Maybe it'll worsen before it betters. Uh-oh. Hard to tell if it's heaven or hell. Shards done fell as pride's was swelled. Your hordes of hell heave one dirty bill, beaten off the back of dark beetle shells. We wear it so well. So, we're only partly past Eden. Most are left by the side of the road, leaving nothing to feed on, slipping heads what none have known, that wet dirt will waken when seeded, magic land feeding the Thunderdome, but far fewer give shits or have succeeded. None need nothing but all want weeding, nurturing bones and deadbeats on their own, on their own. What deserts of apathy are the lack of their feeding? You know, it's never too late to find your way home.
The day I first saw you, the day I realized I was in love with you. I would not have believed that it would be the last I'd ever see of you. Oh. You told me I was not like all the rest. You said I had a different. must come down. They shiver with the sound.
Thank you. good morning. Baby brings me a meal. It's a 10-ton ox sitting on my chest. Oh, really? And I don't know any other words for it. I love you, babe. Another morning, another dream come true. Let them all fade away. It's just me and you. It's just me and you. It's just me and you. I can't fall. It's unreal. Can't fall. It's unreal.
Baby,
Swap for Pedro Show, that chunk of music. We started off Try Again from Suicide Commanders. Then Richard Held sent me, he found the master tapes to his second album, Destiny Street, and he mixed the thing. And he sent it to me, and beautiful, signed it and all this. My first, talk about bass players, right? My first punk rock hero was a bass player, and he actually led the band, which blew my mind. So I thought bass is where you put your retarded friend. You know, like right field in Little League, right? And Fun Hunt, the demo. Barry Berko band after that with Visual Suite 2, second try from his big piece. Dale Crover, I Can't Help You There. That's just, the drummer of the Melvin solo wreck. Chris Groger from Austin with Ark of the Welder poem. The last, the lost second album, Difference. He just flowed me. Network Glass out Balmore with B1B. Incredible. So, Bombas Prendon nearby, D.C. area. The U Inside. Hans Rock from Sweden. No, Switzerland. Get it together, what? Dissident Try number two. I mean, two of those letters are similar, but Jesus Christ. Dissident Try number two. The Entrance from Deep in the Woods, 66, out of Dublin. And then Quarantina, Part 5, New Moon. This is from Joe Cardamone's piece on the situation these days. John Wayne with Shades. I just found out we lost this cat 8 or 9 years ago. I didn't know. The man behind, I think his name is David Vaught. And finally, Beat Rodeo with She's More. Before we get to Beat Rodeo, I got to know how... Well, after school, you know, in the afternoon, did you do the basement, garage, bedroom band thing?
Yes.
Okay, and did this lead to Suicide Commandos, or did Suicide Commandos come because of the movement?
No, you know, the nicest thing anybody ever said about the Suicide Commandos that I love repeating this, this guy goes, you know, you guys were punk when you could own all the punk records, because there were so few of them. Right. And the Suicide Commandos started because I met the other two guys, Chris Osgood and Dave All, who were, you know, 2 years older than me. And at that age, that was a difference, right? And,
right, right. Big time.
You know, Chris was writing songs when we got together already, and Dave had been to England and brought back John Cale and Roxy Music and Pub Rock Records, Dr. Feelgood and Dux Deluxe and all that kind of stuff. And when we started playing, you know, I had the Nuggets record and we were learning, you know, enough songs to play four set a night bar gigs. And so that was, we first got noticed for, you know, our choice of cover tunes, which was that kind of stuff. And we basically started, I started writing my own songs because I saw Chris doing it and I thought it was really cool. And then the other just totally random thing, I moved down into Minneapolis into the basement of this house of a school teacher whose daughter had run off to New York with Johnny Thunders. And by the time I started living in her mom's house, she was living with Tommy Ramone, which she did for the rest of Tommy's life, Claudia. And, Claudia was sending her mom like all these pictures and cassette tapes and stuff of what's going on at CBGB's and Max's. And we're also seeing that stuff in Rock Scene magazine. And so we just called up CBGB's and asked them if we could come out there and play. And this was like in May of 1976. So we are driving out there and I think we had the Ramones album that had come out. And we loved them, and we had that, I remember that Modern Lovers record on Berserkly, we had that. And that's kind of what I remember of, you know, punk then, and we were very curious about what was going on in New York, because, you know, we're hearing about television and Patti Smith and all that stuff. So we kind of just snuck in on the ground floor of that, in a way.
Well, what about in between Minneapolis and New York, this town, Cleveland?
We met
the Perubu Cats, right?
Yeah, we met them in 76, and they might have invited us to come out and play. I can't remember for sure what the first, And I think, I can't remember if we met them through the filmmaker Chuck Statler or we met Chuck Statler through them. But there was a connection there too. Chuck was in Akron. And, but yeah, we got to Cleveland and they were living in Cleveland Heights and there was this really cool record store, the Discodrome there. And, you know, they were just very good to us. They, you know, let us stay in their houses. Somebody stayed at Crocus's mom's house. You know, it was great.
Yeah, and I know that's where he lived, was in Cleveland Heights. But did you know Peter Lochner?
He had just died. I remember David kind of telling me about him, but he was gone. So that probably puts, at one of those trips, I remember just David telling me about him, and he had died.
Now, you cats both had records on Blank, a brand new label at the time.
Yes.
So you were label mates. Did you end up doing gigs together?
We did a like a national tour together. Yes. Another just great night of my life was we played a couple of nights at CB's with them, and John Belushi came to one of the shows. He invited me to come sit at his table and watch Pere Ubu. So I sat with him and watched Pere Ubu, and he just found David hilarious. I mean, he loved it, you know. But it was really fun. That guy was just laughing all the time.
Did you guys come out west?
We did in 78.
No, but with that tour, I'm thinking.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because when I saw Pere Ubu, well, all three of us Minutemen did at the Whiskey. But it was, you guys weren't with them.
No, that would have been a little bit later.
But Tony still had the big fro. It was like,
did he?
Yeah, it was like a spear. Remember, Georgie, the Minutemen drummer, had one of those. They were big in the 70s, those spheres. Look, it's at the end of the March 6, 2021, first hour WAP Pedro Show special guest, Steve Almas. Hold tight for hour two. March 6, 2021, the second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
stand it anymore. I haven't done it wrong at all, but I feel like such a...
We don't know if we'll be safe. Promised land, be together just like I had promised to, we'll be together again.
Hot for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Steve Almas do it. What's the matter? Maurice Mitchell from Ben Salter after that. Sam Lockward, Ben's in Tasmania. Sam Lockward in Iowa City, Lie to Me. Sleep Party People, don't know where they're from, but Third Drawer Down. Good title. Dex Rom Weber duo. Of course, just like Flat Duo Jets duo, right? And he's incredible, yep. Cat, North Carolina. Yeah. Love him. We'll be together again. He lost his sister. She was
She played my good friend Mitch Easter.
Right. Let's Active?
Yeah.
Terrible loss. Fuck cancer. Marty F. that from Poland with Lost It All. And finally, who is this, the Crackers? I can't believe this. I remember playing with a band, Cracker, but they were what was left of Kemper Van Beethoven.
Yeah, that was a band that I had for a minute when I moved to New York with them, and it didn't last very long, and it was kind of a new wave post punk band, I guess you could say.
Well, you know, let's take it up from what happened with the Suicide Commanders.
Well, you know, we were the top dogs in Minneapolis, probably, you know, by the late 1977. Early 1978. And then we'd been going out to New York to play. I wanted to move to New York. The other two guys didn't really. Another band, The Suburbs, came along and kind of dethroned us as the top band in Minneapolis. I was not crazy about that. I just didn't see it moving forward, so I split.
Okay, so and then the band, you lose the bass player, the band falls apart, right?
Well, that was a real band in that way that, you know, the Suicide, for it to be the Suicide Commandos, it had to be the three of us, because Chris and Dave have kept playing together all these years in different incarnations, but
that's right.
It's only the Suicide Commandos when it's the three of us.
No, I totally believe in that. That's why it's called a band.
Yeah, I mean, some bands can change members, but, you know, some can't, and that one definitely couldn't.
Yeah, but even if they change members, I think some of them cats have to start, Fleetwood Mac, that changed the band when it changed the members, but a lot of times you got the guys just wearing different Halloween costumes, right, from the original baby, right, look, kind of like the real thing, you know, but anyway, well, you know, last hour I played Blue Rodeo. Blue Rodeo. That was the Canadian guys, right? Beat Rodeo. And where was that? Was that after Crackers?
Yeah, that was a band I put together.
So I got chronology fucked up as usual. Sorry, Steve.
No worries. Beat Rodeo, after the Crackers broke up, I briefly, I got the guys from this Denver band, the Johnny Three, to come out to New York. And we had a version of the Johnny Three with me on bass for not even 6 months. But we did go out and play. We played the good places in New York, and we went out and played in the Midwest and stuff. But New York wasn't, you know, Kenny Vaughn, he's the lead guitar player in the Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives now. And in my opinion, the best country band in America. And, They came and went, and then I kind of filled in on rhythm guitar with the bongos, and I loved playing with the bongos.
Did that have fucking Billy Fika on drums?
No, that was a Waitresses.
Oh, okay. But, Washington Squares.
They were same time. The bongos was Richard Barone's band.
That's right. God, my fucking memory. But at least I was in the right era.
Yeah, definitely. You're right there. Same era, same time, everything. And I loved playing with them, but there was no room for my songwriting in that band. Richard helped me. He and I went down to Mitch Easter's drive-in studio, and he helped me make this EP, which was basically Mitch on guitar and drums, me on bass, and Richard on guitar and vocals with me. And I called that EP Beat Rodeo. And then after that, I put together a group with the name Beat Rodeo, with guys I met in New York.
Okay. I want to play something with your own fucking name here.
Okay.
It's All in a Day, huh? Although we did play What's the Matter. But we'll get into that.
Daddy, you're a loving man. Is it
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off, and it's All in a Day, Steve Almas. Then my buddy Nez, who lives in Hokkaido, he's an Irish cat, he moved to Hokkaido like 12 years ago, and he sent me a bunch of music, what's happening there right now, Sapporo, he lives in the big town. So I played Desert with NW, The Hatch with Phantom Poop, Car Thief School of Drama, Genesis of Hummin' from Meat Cop, Ill Peace Hymn from Slang, and finally Destroyer, Bang Lang. So that's what on your hardcore scene right now in Sapporo. And finally, Your Life to Live from Steve Almas. So, yeah, when did you start using your own name?
Well, after Beat Rodeo broke up, Steve Fallon, who had Coyote Records, he owned the Club Maxwell's out in Hoboken, he gave me the money to make a solo record. And this record...
You ended up Bar None, right? Because he was on the show a few months ago.
Bar None was Glenn...
That's right. He knew that.
Glenn Morrow, but that was another...
That's right. But he knew him.
Yeah,
and there was
sure,
Todd. Ira Kaplan was the sound man and booked stuff there, and then Todd Abramson and God, it all gets my memory. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No worries. He put up the money for this record. Then Coyote Records imploded, and he placed the record with Rough Trade America. That was going to come out on Rough Trade America. Rough Trade America imploded. So I had this record in the can. You know, two labels had gone down before it came out. And I had gotten a version of Beat Rodeo back together, and we were just playing for fun on Monday nights down on Ludlow Street in this little Ludlow Street cafe. And I walked out during a break one day, and this Swedish guy came up to me, and he asked me what I was doing, you know, musically and stuff. And I said, well, I got the solo album in the can. He goes, well, I would love to hear it, and if I like it, I'll put it out. And he did. He put it out in, like, 1992. The record was called East River Blues, Under My Name.
Did you meet a guy on the street?
Yeah.
And can I put out your album?
And 30 years later, he's still putting out records for me.
I mean, what's the chances of something like that?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, no, he was there to see the gig, so he was there to.
So was it totally random?
It wasn't totally random, no. But still, it was pretty random.
Okay, okay. And what made you say, hey, I'm not going to use band names anymore?
I guess it just wasn't a band. I mean, it was, you know.
Good point.
It was just that, you know, I got all my friends to help me on it, and a lot of records I've made under my own name, I'd love to have bands with those people that play. I'd love to have a band with the people that play on my new record, but, you know, I got to win the lotto first before that's going to happen.
Because you wanted to let people to know who to blame. That's why my projects, where if you'll see my name in it, it's because I'm like the shot caller, so I want people to know who to blame. If it's got a name, that means I'm part of some kind of collab or something. But the other one is like, no, it was his fault.
Well, I mean, I guess the songwriting's really what's kept me going in music. You know, I it's always a blessing to me when, like, you know, a song drops down from somewhere and I put it, write it down. And, so, you know, most of my solo records, except for the two I did with Ali Smith, are kind of just, they're an excuse to record the songs, really. And,
I think it's fucking happening. We used to think fucking records were flyers for gigs.
Uh-huh. They were.
But they also are documents too. Now that we're less younger, huh? Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 6, 2021. Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest Steve Almas. Hold tight for our feet. March 6, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Hotel, internal midnight call that drew me out of my room and down to yours. You magpie possessions, strewn on the bed and on the floor. But did you ever find what you were looking for? Tiny transistor radio, French jazz station all night show, the bebop soundtrack for your restless punk rock soul. Headed for where only your head could go. Tiny transistor radio, French jazz station all night show, that you were getting word from the other side, from angel ancestors and sacred suicide. Spirit voices sang to you and made you cry. You told me you'd be with them soon. All you'd have to do was die. Tiny transistor radio, French jazz station all night show, a bebop soundtrack for your restless punk rock soul. Tiny transistor radio, French jazz station all night show. Of insomnia as you did another line on a 24-hour clock, but running out of time, zooming through to dawn, crashing through all warning signs. My cautious thoughts and your whispers against your brilliant howling mind. Tiny transistor radio, French jazz station all night show, a bebop soundtrack for your restless punk rock soul. Head for where only your head could go. Tiny transistor French chastisation all night show. Some ungodly hour, I admitted defeat. You said just go then, and you took to the street. To walk Montmartre at 5 a.m., driven by your own feet. Parisian early birds sang for the man who wouldn't sleep. In your heart you had a radio, tuned to the secret jazz of the mystery show. Blackout soundtrack for your restless punk rock soul. Heading for where only you could go. In your heart you had a radio, tuned to the secret jazz of the mystery show.
I gotta ask you why. They give you cancer, steal your breath, and they'll bleed your wallet dry. They look cool in the 60s, but well, that was long ago. Well, alright, hon, I've chosen one. Those cigarettes got to go.
Cigarettes, coffee, or you? I've gotta quit just two. So, brother, what's it gonna be? No more cigarettes, coffee, or you?
Now, coffee, boy, there's a horse for the rarest color fine. The darkest roast spends me the most when the beans are finally ground. Without my morning job, in bed I think I'll stay. You wanna give up, then fill my cup. The coffee has got to stay.
Quitters can't be winners, tell that to the coach.
I've got some habits I need to break, so I'm trying this approach. So maybe I just link the ways that kind is given up. I'm out the door, I can't take no more. Gonna grab my coffee cup.
Cigarettes, coffee, or you? I've gotta quit just two. So brother, what's it gonna be? No cigarettes, coffee, or you? So brother, what's it gonna be? Cigarettes?
I quit.
Coffee?
No way.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the third hour. Well, off air, people, I got to hear a righteous story about Brother Stephen and his parents. Got to be careful. But we start second hour with the East River Blues and the tangent that led us to. Crane with Dave Arshaki. After that, My Home. Kevin Hewick with French Jazz Station. Mike Cooper with Notes from My Pacific Log. And finally, Cigarettes, Coffee, or You from Steve Almas. Okay, so, yeah.
Cigarettes, Coffee, or You. I got a little story about that
bring
song.
Bring it.
It's the only time this has happened to me in my life. I write like a... You know, the months coming up to when I was getting ready to record this record, Suicide Commandos had a reunion gig out in Minneapolis, and I live in New York, and I was on the plane to go out to Minneapolis, and for the first time, and I don't remember when, I got a row of seats to myself, and I laid down and promptly fell asleep, and I woke up like about 40 minutes later, and entire lyrics to that song were in my head, and I just woke up. I had my iPad there, and I just woke up and I wrote them down. Just boop, 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 boop. And I laid down and I went back to sleep, and I woke up a little bit later, and there's another song on my record called The One Thing That I Cannot Do, and the lyrics were just in my head, and boop, 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 boop. I wrote them down, and boom, that was pretty much it. On a 3-hour plane ride, two full sets of lyrics just popped out of nowhere and down onto the page.
Yeah, you know.
God, whoa, that would happen more often.
Now, do you usually write words first?
No, I think not. I mean, it comes all different ways, but definitely not usually. Like, often I've got a tune before I have words.
Well, so let's talk about this new record. This record that's coming out.
It's coming out.
When did you start getting it ready for it?
Well, it's about a year late for two reasons. The distributor in Sweden is a company called Border Music, and they got bought by a distributor in the States called Red Eye. And then, you know, last year, just about the time we would have started getting ready for it to come out, the pandemic hit. So,
things got postponed. But I'm talking about before that stuff. I'm talking about getting ready, like getting, writing songs and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I make my living as a public school teacher. So, you know, that's a job that'll take up a good portion of your time. But, you know, you do have summers off and you got, you know, three good vacations during the year. And so I tinker around with the music whenever I can, you know, in my free time. And it probably, the last solo record I made was came out in 2012. I wrote songs for a Suicide Commandos record that came out in 2017. And then.
What was it like? Can I ask, stop you right there and ask you, what's it like to go back to something that's 40 years?
Well, it was, it was funny. It was, there was a fair amount of disequilibrium in the creative process, I would say. But it was all for the good of the project, and, you know, ultimately. And I think it was good because that record is in no way like an attempt to sound like what we sounded like 40 years ago. Right. It doesn't, and we don't. But it, you know, it is the same three guys.
Yeah, that could be interesting, right? Like life is a voyage.
It's definitely, you know, where we were at then, and that worked out well. Like, the idea for it came when, you know, Tommy Ramone died, and the three of us were talking, we're saying, man, you know, none of all the original Ramones are gone. Yeah. And I said something about, you know, we should do another record while we're all still here.
Yeah.
And so we did, you know, and just because we could. And,
I think that's important. You know, that's kind of an existential thing. I mean, that Mr. Heidegger is a fucking Nazi, but he did say we should spend maybe a little more time in graveyards because this idea we're going to live forever is fucking not real.
Oh, don't the Buddhists say you're supposed to wake up every morning and the first thing you're supposed to say to yourself is, I'm going to die.
Okay, yeah. Note to self.
Yeah.
I want to play The Way I Treated You.
Well, I'm not the person who usually dwells on my last past mistakes. I've made a few. And I've always saw myself as one who gets more than he takes. What can you do? But now looking back and thinking about the times I may have made a mess or two, I tell myself I've gone this far with very few regrets. But the only real regret I have is the way I treated you. I wonder now if you look back at me, and if you do, what do you think? At a party I would talk and laugh and flirt with any girl who likes a drink. So afraid to be alone for just a minute that I wasn't straight with you. I drove your car, I drank your glass, I smoked your cigarette. But the only real regret I have is the way I treated you. The way I treated you wasn't good, wasn't right. Just to wait for a lonely coward boy to get his sorry ass through the night. And that ain't right. Word comes down that you're doing all right.
And it's funny after all these years to find myself here thinking late at night. And though I'm sure it's for the best that you moved on, I wonder why it is that though I've gone this far in life with very few regrets, the only real regret I have, the only thing keeps me up at night, the only thing I'd like to change is the way I treated you. The only thing I'd like to change is the way I treated you.
Long dark hair, lily white hands, blue
Walk for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. Steve Almas with The Way I Treated You. Then Wet Wizard Sleeve. Not Steve, but Sleeve. With High Bugs. I thought it'd go good. Country Phaser after that. I thought this would go good, too. Because it seems, the Beat Rodeo. You might have, and your father, right, with the country. There might some, music's music, so to me it's all happening. Is that a Chronic AMM All-Stars with Water on Bass, Country Faves? Ame no Mihashira from the Yakumo Koto Society, Rishiki no Miya. And finally, Steve Almas, Everywhere You've Been.
Yeah, that tune is my, that was kind of my attempt to write a Roger Miller song.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Well, and he has you mean like King of the Road kind of thing?
Well, just, you know how he would have these songs where the words just kind of, they sound like they're tumbling out, right? You know, like they're just like tumbling out of his mouth. And that's what I was going for. I mean, and that's the sense that when I mean like a Roger Miller song, because I wanted the words to just kind of sound like they're tumbling out of my mouth.
It don't sound forced. It's got a real flow.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Because who played with you on this record?
Oh, I got some good guys. On drums is actually. My future son-in-law, his name's TJ Mayani. He's like a session cat. He plays with Steve Gunn amongst a lot of other people. And he brought in, I'm having a senior moment here, Tony Garnier, Bob Dylan's musical director. Tony plays in TJ's jazz trio. And he brought Tony in to play Stand Up on three songs, an old compadre of mine, Mark Sidgwick, who was in Holly and the Italians, plays bass. John Graboff plays pedal steel and lead guitar, probably does the heavy lifting on guitar on that record. He played in Ryan Adams and the Cardinals and a bunch of other stuff, too. And Kenny Vaughn from Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives is on a couple of cuts. And Rebecca Sogstad and Daria Grace do a lot of the background vocals. Rebecca is a big pop star in Norway. Gary Lewis from the Jayhawks sings harmony on a tune. And so, yeah, it's kind of, I got a lot of good people helping me out.
Okay. And where can people find you on the internet, Steve?
Well, right now, this was a little last minute news. The release date for the album was yesterday, March 5th. And, it is available now for download at, like, all the places you download, you know.
Sure. Is there a Steve Almas website?
Yeah. And
what's the URL for that?
Well, I guess the best place to find me is my Facebook page.
I mean, there's no Steve Almas website?
I am remiss in my duty, Mike, okay. Website-wise.
That's okay. It's like having your own fanzine. You'll get one day.
We got news a couple days ago that the CDs and the vinyl are not going to be available in the U.S. until May 7th. It's available in Europe right now, but it's like Brexit or something is messing up all the international shipping right now.
You know what Mr. Wells said? You know, he said, no wine before it's time.
So, download, people. You'd be doing me a solid if you. I know nobody has to buy music anymore, but if you'd be helping me out, make another one if you buy my record. So I hope
Steve,
people do.
I want to thank you for being on the show. And when you get another record, will you come back on?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you for having me.
Absolute, brother. Keep on keeping on, right?
Yeah, lovely talking with you. Yeah.
People, it's been the March 6, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.